everybody. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. The Entrepreneur Experiment reveals the secrets and systems world-class founders use to master their business, their brain, and their body. This is a Mentor Moments episode, and what that is every weekend I pick 10 minutes from our most impactful episodes and guests and release them to you as little bite-sized weekend moments for you to just grab 10 minutes with a coffee and get a new mentor every single weekend. Today, it's quite the mentor. We're talking to Mark Little. Mark, some of you will know him as a journalist, former RTE journalist, and some of you will know him as a successful, highly successful serial entrepreneur who now has two exits under his belt. In this moment, I learned something massive, which has stayed with me forever, and it shapes how I do my interviews. He talks about the huh moment, the moment where you suddenly clarify your message and the person you're communicating to suddenly gets it. There's a hugely powerful lesson in this. The huh moment is crucial, no matter if you're selling, if you're interviewing, or you're just communicating with your partner. Here is today's Mentor Moment with Mark Little. Thanks to my partner, Square. Everything your business needs, like payments, point of sale, e-commerce, inventory management, chatting endlessly about the weather. Well, you're on your own there. Square. Everything your business needs. Almost. Visit square.com. If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from Iconic Offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Iconic Offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Iconic Offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day, bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Iconic Offices. Now, on with today's episode.
Yeah, I mean, the future of media probably is not going to be large mass media anymore. It's going to be an explosion of people like you, podcasters, who can build perhaps a newsletter for 1,000 people that might pay €5, yeah, that might go onto a platform like Patreon, or there's a whole range of new platforms emerging that are going to allow people that have a bit of knowledge that they want to share with their community, no matter how niche it is. Mm. They just didn't in the past have a distribution mechanism or a CMS or, you know, any kind of revenue generation. But now you can take a, you know, Patreon, or you can get Stripe, or you can... So there's a whole range of things, and we hope we're part of that system, allowing people to feel like, you say, curation happens partly through human judgment, but the machinery can also help us connect us with the right piece of information at the right moment.
Yes, and that's key. No one wants to be wading through the noise.
Yeah, I describe it like, you ever see American podcasts, and you'll hear them saying, like, huh. You know, it's that someone says something interesting. And I think we kind of see ourselves as being the kind of serendipity machine. Can we guide people to that moment? Yeah. Huh, new idea. Didn't know about that. I'm glad I heard that. And it's that very human response, which is actually another brain chemical. And that's really what we're trying to guide people toward, is as opposed to what we have now, which is dopamine, which is essentially the same drug that keeps us addicted. So we can break away from those experiences of constant scrolling, mm-hmm, to these moments of, in your day, you come across a new idea. There's a famous old line from the Stiff Little Fingers, one of the bands of my youth, who say, that's when your blood bumps, when you just hear something. And I feel like for me in my life, those are the great moments when suddenly serendipity intervenes and it's the right thing at the right moment. I didn't expect it. And we can actually help that through things like collaborative filtering, where, you know, Gary and Mark like the same music, but Gary hasn't listened to the track Mark just listened to. Mm. And that kind of connection is so much more human and I think rich than, just putting 10,000 people following the same account on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I think we're in this evolution where things could go wrong, very badly wrong, even worse than they are right now. But I do feel like enough people investing in this kind of technology to get it right is a gateway to something quite revolutionary in a good way.
We're almost at the end. Just talk to me a little bit about... So one thing I'll ask you to do is recommend a book at the end. So you can think about that just for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. A book that's kind of had an impact on you or you just enjoyed. Doesn't have to be life-changing. But just talk to me. You touched a little bit about... I'm fascinated by it. I'm always trying to find out successful people's habits, routines... What does your week look like and how do you plan it? So what does that work like?
Yeah, I used to laugh when I read these features about the day in the life of people, you know, up at 5 o'clock in the morning to transcendental meditation and they were at work by 7. They're like, piss off. But I have to tell you, there's a lot of truth in that. Like, I find that, you know, I'd be up 6:30 for, you know, get myself as quickly as possible into some sort of active mode. So do some exercise, listen to a podcast, do some meditation, you know, and take time and I've about 40 minutes that I'm reading a book in the morning. So I have a nonfiction book going over breakfast and then a podcast and then essentially straight out, you know, walking constantly. I'll be taking the dart. We have a stand up at 9:30 in the morning in the office. So that's like a 10 minute, if people aren't familiar with the way tech companies work. Mm-hmm. You literally have a stand-up meeting where people just tell each other what they're doing that day. And then, yeah, pretty much I kind of try guide the day through 90 minutes. So I feel like in my body clock, I feel like 90 minutes is pretty much the optimal spot of time to do something. But, you know, it's a constant battle against the distractions of social media and the distractions of my Google Calendar. So, you know, it's a constant battle every day to try and get to the point where you have some power over that. But exercise, literally nothing. Whenever you're hit a log jam or you're getting too distracted, like just jumping out of the office and going for a walk around the park. Mm. And then trying to get home in the evening, giving myself enough time. And also, you know, we'll be winding down a little bit with the podcast I might listen to. So I might turn on something, an interview show or a, you know, movies or whatever, and then by the time I get home and walk in the door, I want to be able to sort of push away anything to do with work.
I'm
addicted to whatever I can binge on with my family, so I'll go through like, we'll just go through like this obsessions with some particular TV show or whatever, Netflix or Amazon Prime, and then generally what's happened is always work hard to try to connect with friends or family during the week, and at weekends it's trying to fight back against just that desire to just go and do nothing at the weekend, just try make some productive use of it. But reading for me has been the thing that constantly is the factor of my life, so try as much as possible read a couple of books every week, and just really spend time productively. I know I won't get away from media, I'm on Twitter all the time, but what I'm doing more and more with those mediums is actually trying to engineer myself new ideas. And I've become just really acquisitive of that over the last couple of years. So it's still a little obsessive.
Okay. How are you doing that?
Well, I have Twitter lists, which help me just navigate through different subjects that are important to me. Mm. I would always have a fiction book at night and a non-fiction book in the morning.
That's so weird. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah. And then I'll have a book generally, which will be a biography, which I'll listen to on audiobook. So when I'm walking, so I've just been finishing Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. And then try to have that kind of habitual notion of it. And then whenever I'm cooking, just having a podcast on, and I have, you know, maybe 15, 20 podcasts that I know I'll always enjoy no matter what they're doing. Mm. So it's just constantly surrounding yourself in a very engineered setting. I know that sounds very obsessive.
That's exactly, it's almost weird the way you're describing it. It's almost exactly my similar routine. Nonfiction in the morning, podcast driving to work, specific kind of podcast. Podcast driving home will be very different. It'll be like a football podcast or just something very light.
Yeah.
I don't really have to think about it. It's not gearing me up, it's winding me down. Then at night it'll be fiction and it'll often be something just rubbish, like thriller.
Yeah.
Often very light.
Yeah, no, it's...
You gotta just not force yourself.
No, but it's also, I tend to try to take notes of the books as well. So I will... There's actually some great studies done on how to read, and that sounds strange at the age of 50 to learn how to read again, but just about how to learn to take notes and stuff. So I have a, you know, a list of all of the notes I'd have from books over a year, and I find that's really interesting as a journey, you know, over a year. You look back over a year and you've done a lot of things to actually try and engineer your life so you're surrounded by a safety net of ideas.
That's so interesting.
And also try to read against type, you know, try and work out what your biases are. And then that's the one thing I've discovered at this point of my life is unconscious bias. Like everything from, you know, food you eat to the way you look at other people and the way you judge people, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you behave in meetings. Like you have a lifetime of bias built up.
Yeah.
And I'm finding now, and this is, you know, not to sound very woke about it, but it's really interesting for me to try and unravel a lot of the stuff that I've always felt, and particularly as a man, you know, like I mansplain a lot. I definitely know that I go into meetings sometimes very emphatic, like my nickname in college was Emperor, so I'd have imperial sweeping judgments. And I find myself a lot now these days looking at that and being a little bit more comfortable picking apart those things. So yeah, I'm really enjoying having my mind fucked with on a regular basis.
Do you follow Ryan Holiday?
No, I know of him, but I don't follow him.
He talks a lot of stuff that you talked about there. He's some great, you should check out his blogs. Actually, he does a great blog on how to read.
Yeah.
How he takes notes. You'll see him, he's written numerous blog posts on how to read a book.
Yeah, there's great.
It sounds weird.
There's a great podcast in Farnham Street, which is what I listen to a lot. And read him a lot, and he's good about that kind of stuff. Tim Ferriss, people like this. You know, so there's a lot of good people out there that are like really, really helpful in trying not just to be productive, but I hate this bullshit about hacking your life, or I hate those books.
Why do you want to hack it? For what?
Exactly.
Is it spend more time with your family, or is it just to hack?
Yeah, I think what it is, that famous old line about how you spend your days is how you spend your life. Yeah. Like, you know, really, when you've got a finite number of days left in your life, and you know what's important now. And I think that's one of the benefits of coming to 50. I'm now 51. You spend your first 40 years what they call fluid intelligence. So you're learning, you're constantly acquiring knowledge and bias. And you get to a certain point where you have crystallized knowledge, where you actually know enough and you've got a certain wisdom. And you realize that this is it. There's no more pretend. It's not like you can take another 5 years to play around it. This is it. And now it's a question of just becoming more human. And I find that to be probably the most exciting thing of my life at the moment, as much as the entrepreneur in me. It's finding out ways to really just fucking lean into everything and challenge everything. And that's really given me a new lease of life, and I think a much healthier respect for a lot of the things that I didn't like in the past, or people possibly that I didn't have time for.
I hope you enjoyed today's mentor moment. Wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify or Apple, click subscribe. It really helps the podcast to grow. I'll see you back here on Tuesday for a brand new Idea Lab.